the Station of the Stars. RTR.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on the most glorious sunny day of the summers, well, springs actually, summer so far. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Still got snow on top, but we're melting down here with sun and sand. No sea, though, because we're landlocked. Over on the other side of the pond, the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than the whinging pom, Lee Banks.
Summer's almost gone. Yes, it's almost gone. Winter's coming on. Where will we be when the summer's gone? By the sea.
My mate put a message on Facebook this morning. I went to bed last night in the UK summer, woke up this morning in the winter.
Did you, ladies and gentlemen? He spoke over me punchline deliberately. It was about a scone.
A scone? Well, was that a jam and
cottage? Oh, see, you're interested now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, the scones they do at Luton Hoo, they're magic. Down there, up there in Queensland, it's Rach!
Hello, everybody. It's coming into winter here, but it's still 23 degrees at night. Oh, well. I've got an RTI T-shirt to sleep in, so I'm fine.
You go to sleep in your RTI T-shirts?
Yes, I've got one for outdoor wear and one for nightwear.
Ah, but did you agree and do the deal that I put in the note? Did Rob fit that T-shirt for you?
Rob couldn't fit into the T-shirt. He got an arm through it.
No, did he fit the T-shirt on you?
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, that's all right then. That's okay.
This is a bit personal.
But no photographs were taken.
No, well, of course not. That would be ungallant, wouldn't it?
I suppose if you're wearing a T-shirt, you should also put on a G-string.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yes.
But you have to remember, we do quality T-shirts, Lee.
I've got them, haven't I?
As Rachel will agree, the RTI T-shirts are not bingo T-shirts.
No, they're not. They don't lose their shape in the wash.
are they different to the ones you sent me?
No, they're the same.
Well, what?
They're not scratchy.
No.
They're not scratchy. No, they're quite right. They're not made out of sacking. I got my T-shirts. I asked for a flag to go on the roof of my house saying RTIFM. And I got a T-shirt.
I haven't got a flag ready yet. I found it somewhere in the garage. Anyway, let's move on. This is a supposed news programme. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, iTunes, Audio Boo, Spreaker, so many places. And hi to Alan up at Breeze. Talk to you again soon, mate. That'll be nice. And a bit of sad news before we get into some of the more frivolous stuff. Andrew Simpson, the Olympic sailor, had two medals, one gold, one silver, has died in a tragic accident when the catamaran he was in overturned.
Really sad, isn't it?
36 years old. He's too young. But he died doing what he loved.
Well, that is very true. That is very true. And I think
we can't all say that, can we? Especially if we die, we can't say anything.
Are you telling me I've got to die on the radio?
Yes.
You've done that plenty of times.
I knew he was going to say
Please do it live, because otherwise Lee and I'll be in trouble, because we don't have the recording button on our end.
Do you know, true story, that's why the old BBC studios are upside down.
Why?
Well, on a commercial studio, when you want the noise to get louder, you put the fader up, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
With the old BBC stations, you used to bring the fader down to make it louder.
Right.
Seriously.
That's like changing gear in a Citroën.
A bit, yeah. And the theory was that if you collapsed and died or something, you would push the fader forward so they wouldn't hear you go, or something like
that. What if you grabbed hold of it to try and hang on to life and it slipped downwards?
That's very true.
Yeah, I see. I would like to say about this Andrew Simpson, because he was known as Bart, wasn't he?
Yes, Bart Simpson.
In a totally respectful way.
Yeah.
And it was because he was such a joker. And I saw him being interviewed a couple of times. And, you know, I'm a philistine when it comes to sport. But he was a really charming, funny bloke. And everybody's remembering him for his sense of humour. That's really good. But what an awful thing to happen. particularly in San Francisco Bay, because I'm there in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I knew he was going to get that in somehow. I knew it.
Yeah, San Francisco Bay. You don't talk about getting it in.
He's such a plugger.
He is, isn't he?
Oh, no!
I'm going to ask a very unprofessional question now.
Yes, dear.
Go ahead.
Have you been on to the tourist board out there?
Yeah.
You said, hello, I'm Lee G. Banks from RTIFM?
That's exactly what I said.
I knew it.
And guess what they said?
What?
Who cares?
They actually said, absolutely brilliant. This is an American accent.
All right.
But they said, absolutely brilliant. We listen to your show every week. And we'd love to see you when you get over here, and we'll take you out for lunch.
Really?
But you know what they've done for me?
No.
This is brilliant for us.
Huh?
Me and Rachel did talk about it last week because it went over your head. But they have arranged for me to go to the last phone box in the Nevada, the Navajo, or whatever it is, desert.
Yes.
So basically what you're saying is...
I'm going to go to an empty telephone box.
No. Really... What you're basically saying is Rachel and I are sweating cobs doing a good radio program, and you're leeching off the back of it and getting freebies.
If you wish to look at it in that way, yes.
While I'm snuggled in my shirt, I will be thinking of you.
Well, you've got an RTI shirt to sleep in.
I will be thinking of you and wishing you food poisoning.
Yes, exactly.
No, but this is a good thing. The reason I've done it is because we are an international show which has a massive audience in America.
True.
And I am going to report for us, as I did from Russia, as I did from India, I am going to report on our road journey from Las Vegas to San Francisco. All the way along.
Wow.
Cool.
Gosh.
And I'll give you an exclusive.
Sounds like the Discovery Channel.
Well, yeah, I've discovered something that's going to happen to me on this sojourn through the States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That Andrea person, what lives with me, who's in trouble a lot at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's marrying me in Las Vegas, and we're getting
by
married.
By Elvis.
Elvis!
You better record that or you're dead.
We can watch it on Skype. There's a service now where you can actually, Skype it. You can put it on Skype and people in other lands can log into Skype and watch you.
That's true.
Married.
And we can record it.
Yeah, we're doing it on YouTube. We're going to get married on YouTube because we are modern people.
Right.
At Gracelands, no less.
Gosh.
Gracelands. Now, that's why I think it's worth us reporting. Then we're setting off in our open-top Cadillac down the road to Dallas. Dallas. And we all know who lives in Dallas, don't we? Our friend Dan the Radio Man.
From Talk Radio X.
Yes! I'm going to knock on his door. Say, hello, Dan. He'd be best. American actor like that.
Yeah. Dan, if you're listening right now, which I know you will be,
go on holiday.
Sorry.
Run away.
I apologise. Moving along, he says, great story down under, in Australia. There's been a bit of a furore with the Australian seal throwing the kippers out.
I know, funny this, isn't it?
Yeah, Rach, what's happened?
Rach, get a grip.
Rach, come on, we're on the radio. this is international radio. Will you get a grip, girl?
I can't.
She's got this.
No words.
She's got the vision of the seal with the kipper now, hasn't she?
I can't. There are no words. There are no words for this. I can't. I refuse to comment because
what?
It's ludicrous and ridiculous, and I can't.
Right, hang on. Slow down. Let's go back to the beginning a bit because.
What, we're starting the show again?
No. Say. Is the program you've got down under is slightly different to the European version, isn't it?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, ladies and gentlemen. Why doesn't he look after his words and make sure he knows what he's saying when he's saying it?
in your end, oh, dear.
Slightly different, only slightly.
Right. So one of the...
It's more like a pocket, isn't it?
Yes.
Like a kangaroo.
So, yes, we'll be very un-PC in a moment and start talking about Captain Pugwash.
oh, David Seaman.
So...
would-be contestant enters competition.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And now,
just give me the punchlines of which the names of where you go next.
She didn't punch that one, did she?
No.
The Voice.
The Voice.
The Voice Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as this one in England? But
no, it's different.
Show? It's slightly different. It's slightly different.
Think things clear for the ladies and gentlemen.
But I've just said it's different.
But I wasn't listening.
Well, listen to the following. Very, very good, lovely, long-term friend of mine, Michelle Martinez.
How old is she?
Very beautiful, 28. Beautiful, beautiful girl.
Much too young for you.
Enters said competition and goes to what they call the blind auditions, where all the chairs for the coaches are turned the other direction, and if they like what they hear, they press their button and turn around, and then...
Do they have to pick the chair up and turn around? Or is it...
No, it's a swiveller. And turn around. So three of the judges turned around for her. Three of the... They call them coaches, not judges. Three turned around for her. She sang a very... A rip-roaring rendition of Lady Marmalade.
All right.
And all right. So then she gets to choose which person she would like to coach her. She chooses Seal.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently on Australian television, no Australians actually are coaches or judges on these programs. They're all from the UK or America or Latin America.
Seal? Yeah, it's Seal. Our Seal. Yeah.
Right. Your I just Seal. Thought it might be an Australian one. Well, at least she was going to see the clap.
Well, so anyway, she got through that blind audition, and then it goes into a battle round where they have to sing against somebody else and somebody gets eliminated. She won that battle round.
Yeah.
Then it goes to what we have is called a showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And one person gets automatically saved by the public. It goes to public vote. One person gets saved, and then Seal sends somebody home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the public send somebody home who got the lowest votes, and then the last two have a sing-off.
Right.
Michelle and her counterpart had their sing-off, and Seal, in shocking form, eliminated out Michelle.
Right.
It was
we're not biased here, are we?
We're not. The guy that he kept is very good, and he's very cute. He did a rendition of a Paul Simon song. And he plays his guitar and he's very cute.
Oh,
but it wasn't at Michelle, that's for sure. Anyway, Twitter and Facebook melted down after this happened. It was such a shocker. But the beautiful thing is, when you lose, you win, because Michelle released an EP called You Got
You
Me.
You sounded just like Will.i.am then when you said that.
She did.
He was, and do you know what? It's funny you say that, because the night she got eliminated, he was a guest on that show.
Was
performing,
spooky,
Will I Am,
spooky.
Or as I like to call him, Will I Lamb. And so, and he goes
that's
very
like
well
one
with
of my jokes, isn't it?
He goes very well with mint jelly.
Yeah.
Anyway, she released this EP well before The Voice happened. Well before she released this EP, an hour after she was eliminated from The Voice, her EP went to number one on the R&B. Went to number one on the R&B soul chart on iTunes, number one.
Really?
It stayed there until today, where it has gone to number three, only outdone by the likes of Alicia Keys and somebody else. But she's at number
three.
So
she's made a fortune.
But she's done well.
She's done very well. So when you lose, you win. And it's the only time in my life where I've ever had the urge to club a Seal.
Very good.
Well done. Good.
Now, hang on, can I just qualify something here? Is it the case that if I go, well, actually, I'm doing it right now. When I Google this, it seems to me that Australia is not very happy with this situation.
No, they're furious. I couldn't believe the uproar. It was on the news the following morning. Journos on our morning programs were furious. So of course, me being me, I tweeted them all the link to her EP on iTunes.
Good girl.
I went tweet.
Hang on, let's just repeat her name slowly so everybody gets it.
Michelle.
Right. Michelle what?
Michelle Martinez. M A R T I N E Z.
From Australia.
From Australia. She's originally from Adelaide, where I hail from. That's how I know her. and she's now living in Sydney. She was working as – well, she's not going to anymore, that's for sure. She was working as a backup singer and also as a lead singer gigging corporate and sessions and stuff like that. So she went – and Seal, I couldn't believe it, what he said to her when he was leading her off the stage to her exit, he said, "You got what you came for." And I thought, I'm pretty sure she came to win, fool. But –
and as I threw
rubber duckies at the television. But then I thought to myself, do you know what? I've always said this about these shows. They're a great platform for people. And in Michelle's case, at number one an hour after, come on.
Let's do it. I've just got a thought. Hold the presses.
Have thoughts.
We'll do a Kylie.
What do you mean?
She's better than Kylie.
Let's do a Kylie. If I talk to my mates on commercial radio in Europe, and some of my other mates on state radio who do world music, and say to them, this is the lady that's caused all the controversy down in Australia, so it's a good news story, right? We'll put them in touch with her. And then shove her all over Europe.
Exactly.
That'll stick it up, Seal.
She's got a...
Did Seal do anything wrong? Did Seal really do anything wrong? He created the situation where this woman's become incredibly famous.
Not on purpose. He didn't do it on purpose. No. It was by accident. She created her own destiny.
I'd still be very grateful to him if I was her.
Yeah, but
wouldn't I kick him in the collie waddles?
It sounds to me like he was looking for a new Justin Bieber.
Whoa. Certainly hasn't got one. He's got a guy. He's got one kid who's actually very good. Who, when he speaks, has got the most horrendous stutter. When he sings, he's beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yeah.
He went through by public vote because everybody loves, you know, a good backstory that's, you know, tearful.
But isn't that what's wrong with these programs? That you know automatically, as soon as somebody's mother's died or the dad's died or the dog's died, that they are going to win.
Yeah, whether they can sing or not.
I was going to tell Michelle, tell them you had a, you know, your parents beat you or you had a drug addiction or something. So,
Rach, you have a job to do.
I have a job to do. I have to contact Michelle.
You have to get hold of Michelle, tell her to talk to you and Uncle Eric, and then we will, via RTI, put her in touch with the number of radio stations in Europe, and let's see if we can't get her iTunes tracks back up to number one where they should be and go to Seal.
By the way, guys, before I forget, Michelle Martinez, if you look it up on Facebook, she's got a fan page. So get onto Facebook and like her fan page.
Oh, you must give me that later and we'll put it on ours.
Can I ask a question which is really pertinent?
Go on then.
Yes.
What does R&B mean now?
R&B now, it's so, you know what, I've had this discussion a lot because I do the R&B show and it started out as rhythm and blues.
Mm.
Of course it did.
It's become so many other things. It's become, you know, rhythm and, you know, black guys. It's become...
There you have it. I rest my case. Nobody anymore knows what R&B is.
Nobody knows everything. I mean, Justin Timberlake is on his new album is on the R&B chart. You know,
crazy.
You know what I love about it? It's organic and it changes and music.
Thank you. Music should evolve. Anybody that sticks labels on it and pigeonholes it is living in the dinosaur ages.
Well, I would suggest then that Muddy Waters should be a bit shocked that he is now a pop artist instead of being a rhythm and blues artist.
He probably would have been.
I play guys like Donny Hathaway and Marvin Gaye and, you know, all those guys.
Marvin Gaye wasn't rhythm and blues.
He was soul.
He is soul. And, you know, and I play R&B soul on my show. And I play new stuff as well, like Michelle Martinez, for example.
Uh-huh. All right.
Just a point that nobody in this day and age knows what the meaning of rhythm and R&B is, and yet they all bandy about as if it's something special.
Well,
it is special. It's like the whole show.
It's rhythm and blues.
I think the trouble with all of this is it's like the idiots who go, hey, here's a rock and roll track, and they play something that's completely not from Bill Haley.
I was going to say Bill Haley in the comments. That's real rock and roll, man.
Actually, I do apologise to anybody who likes Bill Haley, because I was doing a playlist for a well-known water park complex close to me. No adverts. And they
said, Aqua City.
And they said, we need a new playlist, Eric. Can you sort it out? And we were doing different bits for different areas of the complex. And they said, well, we'd like an old bit where our senior citizens spend a lot of time. And I looked at Bill Haley, Rock Around the Clock, and said, I can't do it.
Oh, no. The last thing Bill Haley was rock and roll.
I deleted it.
Good lad.
Well, I'll tell you something, guys. On my next Australian show and on my next R&B show, and you can catch those on Spreaker, I'm actually doing a special on our Michelle, and I'm playing all the songs off her EP and also all the songs that she did while she was on The Voice.
Wow, marvellous.
That's a good plug, and she's had a 15-minute plug now.
20 minutes,
yeah,
nearly.
Yeah, go, Michelle. We love you. I love you.
Go, Michelle.
You're my hero.
Get on with it, Michelle. You're doing very well.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Seal's got nothing on us.
No, we'll get him. We'll get him. Don't you worry about it. Anyway, moving along, he says, because sad news for Eric this week.
Oh, I know. How are you going to cope with that, then?
I don't know. Well,
I was there when this happened.
What, when he died?
No!
Oh.
The bit that will emotionally affect your sensibilities.
I'm trying to keep my emotions in.
You keep your emotions in until the show's over.
Take it down. Take it down. You're a professional.
When we started RTI, Rach, I have this habit when I start radio stations, which has become quite a well-known thing in certain quarters, that every radio station has to start with a track by Cher.
Yeah. Okay.
Cher and Cher alike, okay. Isn't it?
And so we started with Believe, because everybody said we couldn't do it, and we did Believe, and we did it. So right. That's why we chose Believe, not because of all the lyrics which were in it, which are not quite the same, but doesn't matter. And the guy that did the disco remix of Cher's track, Peter Rauhofer, has died at just 48 years old.
I know, isn't that a tragedy? There's another bloke gone off, shuffled off this mortal.
And he's an Aussie, Rach.
Yes. Too soon.
It's not
too
fair.
Too soon. It's too soon if you die at 119, though, really, isn't it?
That's true. If you're making a contribution, it's too soon.
Yeah, exactly. If you're doing something to better the world or better the psychological situation of your neighbour, then you should live forever, like me.
Actually, I was quite impressed this week with Prince Charles going to see all the RAF people as well. Some of those guys, 100 years old, they've got more sanity than some 40-year-olds.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with age.
You're right, there isn't. Anyway,
don't you be rude about Prince Charles.
No, I won't. Anyway, he's a nice bloke.
And nice ears.
He's organic. We love him.
He's organic.
We like his mum and dad as well, don't we, Lee?
We do, actually.
Yeah, we do. We keep going on about it, but they are lovely people. I'm sorry to Sue hear the... I think we're touching on that in a minute, so I'll shut up about the Queen for a second. Sorry, Mum. But anyway, that is sad news. But it is some amazing music that he was involved in. Thank you very much indeed. Stepford Wives film director Brian Forbes has died as well. I didn't realise he was 86.
This broke my heart. This film was just ridiculously good. It was so good. The original Stepford Wives was just... It was so ahead of its time. And this guy was beyond his time. And now he's, beyond... nothing. But
well,
everybody's time, yeah.
But I didn't realise he was 86.
I didn't either. And he would have been, getting on there when he made the original Stepford Wives anyway.
Exactly.
Getting on there, 1970s, that's 40 years ago, Rachel. He'd have been in his 40s.
Oh, yeah, I forgot how old I was.
No, but I know what you're saying about the Stepford Wives. It was a good film, but actually it was more to do, I've forgotten the bloke's name now, but it was more to do with the actual novel it was taken from than the actual film, I think. I think the story and the depth of the story and the tales that it was telling and the moral aspects it told was more to do with the writing. But what about Whistle Down the Wind? Wasn't that one of the most beautiful films? Yeah, one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. I can even still whistle the beginning.
Go on, then.
Really? I can't whistle.
I just made that up. I can't.
You can't whistle, you get a pole in your tooth.
I've got it. It goes.
Oh,
Oh, sorry, sound engineers across the planet. Oh, that was loud.
And it was also the wrong tune.
Probably. We'll move over to, because we mentioned the Queen just now, and there's been lots of talk this week in the UK about her slowing down and taking it slightly easier. And when you think about it, 57 years of working for your country.
She goes on holiday, though, doesn't she?
Goes on holiday when?
When do you go? Because she keeps going abroad.
That's not holiday, dear. That's work.
Yeah, but it's the sort of work everybody would like, wouldn't it? You know, you go on holiday and when you work, you know, I'm working, but I'm flying out in my own private jet or going out on my own ocean liner.
She doesn't
or I'm going out of my own Rolls Royce.
No,
the best hotels that other people are going to pay for.
Lee. Don't tell Porkies. Don't tell Porkies.
I haven't told Porkies.
Yes,
you
have.
On a naughty corner. Red card.
Absolutely,
you
because...
You told me off of going to LA.
Because, Uncle Lee,
what?
You were here when the Queen was here, right?
She was lovely. The Queen stopped and had a chat with me.
Right. And how did she fly back to England? In a British Airways conventional plane, not a private jet.
Yeah, in economy.
Class.
Thank you. Very much indeed.
And because it was only 36 quid, wasn't it, at that time? I remember. That was sick. And they got a discount because her and Philip went together, so they got it all for 58
pounds. Now, they actually flew back from Poprad Airport on a conventional British Airways aircraft, and that was it. Mark, she did hold everybody up, if you remember.
She did, because we're all drunk.
Is she? She's got some strength for her, right?
She did. She was so pleased being in the stadium with us all that she actually left 10 minutes late and held a plane up. But never mind, that's Queen's right. Been. But she has worked tirelessly for the last 57 years. And why shouldn't she take it a little bit easier now?
I agree. She's
got a brand new generation. Prince Charles needs to get out there, keep his wife, you know, inside, because she's just unpleasant to look at. Harry and Willie, and there's a baby coming. You know, there's plenty of other people to carry the ropes, and she's 87. Give her a break.
Yeah, a rest. She should be the manager now, not the doer.
Well, the point I was going to make is very simple, really. You know, if you think, she's going to slow down, and there was a very telling point that when she opened Parliament again...
With the
Queen's speech, there was a throne set aside for Charles and Camilla, which was taken as an indication that she was about to hand over power, based on the fact that it said that she was going to slow down a bit. But you've got to remember, right, this week, all the things she's done, you know, it's incredible. She's done Westminster. She travelled from Westminster to Windsor. She gave a 15-minute speech.
Absolutely. And amazingly, we're at the end of part one, so we'll see you soon, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
Eric, give me a break.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.